Jim, here we are Sunday morning and enjoying our coffee and our bran muffins and all this. But
and on a caffeine high here.
Little caffeine high. But this past weekend was the All-Star game. And I remember when we were with the Bruins, you never really used to go to the All-Star games. I know Mom and I and Tim went on a vacation. We look forward to that. That's what the All-Star game means to us.
Where'd you guys go?
Well, one time we went to Puerto Rico. We went with the Cheevers. Nice. And we went to Cheevers and went. And you know what was really cool was that a lot of the wives that didn't even have kids went with us. I think Diane McNabb went. Ricky Middleton's wife went.
Terry O'Reilly.
Lourdes went. And we had a grand old time. But you never went with us. So
No, and I'll tell you why. And, you know, I was with Hockey Night in Canada. I made a deal when I first started. I guess I can mention that. And and when they were in Canada, I would have to go. And when the All-Star was in the States, I didn't go. And when it all came down when I was coaching the Bruins, we were in first spot. I never forgot this. We were in first spot. First spot in a tough division. They call it the Iron Division. It was the Adams Division. And we're sailing along, won 18 straight or something like that. We never had one guy go to the All-Star game. And I remember the owner went, and I remember the president went, and I remember the assistant coach went, general manager, and then I remember Harry went, and I said, well, how can I go to the All-Star game when none of my players are going? So since that day, it's a joke. I mean, they have players going now that, you know, and players being left off. I mean, how can you leave? Oh, I'm not getting into it. But anyhow, that's the reason why I never went to an All-Star game, and you guys went on vacation. I'm glad to see it. And you know the guy that I can't believe is not in the Hall of Fame, and we're jumping from the All-Star game to the, and we'll get back to that, is Dale Hunter. Now, Tim, we were talking about it before. Tell about his record, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, this, I guess in the past week, Dale Hunter won his 800th game as OHL coach. So I think there's only three or four people ahead of him: Brian Kilroy, Bert Templeton, and maybe one other person ahead of him with wins. So he has.
Oh, we know Brian Kilroy's.
Brian's number one. He's got over 1,000.
No, 2,000, I think.
Is it? Oh, well, I'll have to take a look and we'll get back.
Well, I like to think it's 2,000.
But Dale Hunter, he has 800 wins. He has more now. I think it's 806 and only 324 losses. He's won two Memorial Cups. He's won one World Junior this year. They won the World Juniors. So in his NHL career, he played over 1,400 games, had over 1,000 points. You'd like this, over 3,500 minutes in penalties.
And he was tough. Let me tell you, folks. I'll tell you.
And the one thing that's really kind of amazing, only four players in NHL history have more overtime playoff goals. They say overtime goals now, but they mean regular season, but playoff overtime goals.
Yeah, and in those days, they didn't have this, you know, the shootout and all stuff, and the overtime, you know.
The overtime was just the playoffs. Yeah.
He was at one time number one.
So the guys are ahead of him. You think Gretzky and Lemieux and all that, but it's Joe Sakic's first, then Rocket Richard, then Glenn Anderson, hard to believe, and Patrick Kane. Those are the only guys that have more overtime goals than Dale Hunter in the playoffs. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. I probably never went to an All-Star game, too.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did. I remember when he got suspended for 20 games, and I remember Pierre Turgeon scored the sixth goal.
In an open net. He scored an open net.
I mean, he put a stick in the air, and I thought, and all of a sudden I saw Dale coming from the ice. Oh, no, please, Dale. Leave him alone. Crash. And he got 20 games for that. And I remember I was on TV, and I said, he is not hurt. And they had him down as a third degree separation. And I said, if they get by this round, if they get by the next round, he'll play. And I remember it was against the Islanders. He did play, and he got 20 games.
Yeah, well, I think that was the last game of that series. Yeah. And then he got 20 games at the beginning.
Well,
the reason he
was mad was because, I mean, the sixth goal, and they're going to be out in the boat in the playoff, and he jumps around as if he scored the overtime goal. I mean, Dale Hunter, boy. And I remember when he played that he had a broken leg. He played with a broken leg, and he had steel splints on it, and he had screws on it. And the word was that the screws had come loose. and he kept on playing. Boy, if any guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I asked him one day, I said, how come you're not in the Hall of Fame? You know what he asked me? I'm not their kind.
Well, you can sort of relate to that, can't you, Dad?
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess I'm not their kind either.
We'll have to talk a bit about Moore one time when he was with Quebec and they played Montreal in the playoffs.
Oh, that's
a
long one, though. We didn't.
Well, yeah, we'll have to do that another time. But I remember, for some reason, I was in Montreal doing something. And we were on a bus on the way home, and you could see there was a woman listening to the game on the radio, and Dale Hunter scored that overtime goal to beat them. And she got up and she says, right in the middle of the bus, I hate that Hunter. She just went.
That's a hockey fan.
Yeah, just went crazy.
You know, Dad, you mentioned the Hockey Hall of Fame, and as a kid, you know, growing up in Kingston, I thought they had a Hockey Hall of Fame there, and I thought that was the Hockey Hall of Fame. Then I come to Toronto, and there's another one. So, what's the difference between the two?
No, it
hockey
was the
hall?
Original one. They called
it was the original.
It was the original one. It was on Alfred Street in York, I think it was, and not
right
there
up
now.
The street from where you were lived.
Yeah,
from
it was just
Albert
down the street. It was a big, beautiful building. But then when they had the new one put up, it was. I remember they started in the grounds of the exhibition, and then they moved to the beautiful one downtown. Well, nobody goes to the one. You living in Kingston, you'd know where.
Oh yeah, I mean it's in. So they did keep it. They moved it from where you're talking.
Mark Potter
about.
Was the guy that
right, yeah. And they tried. They were trying to get a building on their own, but then what ended up happening was they put it in an arena there, an In Vista Center off Gardner's Road.
Yeah, we were there. It was
beautiful. It was nice. In fact, didn't you tape Tim one of the Rock'em Sock'em's intros?
Yeah, I think we did. It was number 27. I think we interviewed there. We did the openings
and they have some great stuff.
Oh, unbelievable! Ever,
the history.
Yeah,
was
if you're
wonderful.
Going along the 401, if you're ever going on the 401 to Montreal or you're visiting Kingston, you get off
Gardner's. You get off at Gardner's and head south, and
yeah, you'll run right into
and
it.
And then you see it on the left-hand side.
Yeah, big arena, but it is absolutely great.
They have like the world's oldest hockey stick. They got the first puck when they got one of the first pucks, and it was square. Yeah, the puck was square.
Yeah, and they had Howie Morenz's shin pads and gloves. And
then they had some stuff there from some of the NHL players that came from Kingston. Yeah. Dougie Gilmore, Kirk.
You know that Kingston is the only city in the world that has a game-winning Stanley Cup goals. And who are they? Let me think now. Bill Cook, it's Kenny Linsman, Kirk Muller, Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah, I think it's four. Four guys.
Oh, four guys, yeah. I thought it was five. I was hoping it was five. Anyhow, there's no city in the world that has all those winners in.
Now, getting back to the All-Star game, which we started with and everything, last year you didn't go to the All-Star game, but you and Tim took a bit of an adventure.
Oh, yeah. Hard
to believe it was a year ago.
A year ago.
Holy smokes.
Time flies.
A lot of happened in a year.
Yeah, really.
A lot has happened.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I was gainfully employed back in those days. Yeah. But anyhow, the reason we went was because of Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, we went to Tombstone. We flew into Scottsdale, and then we drove down to Tombstone, Arizona. You know, you and I are big fans of the movie Tombstone with Kurt Russell, and you're a big fan of Wyatt Earp. You read, I don't know how many biographies of him.
There's been more movies made of Wyatt Earp. Only Billy the Kid, I think, is more. But let me just tell you about Wyatt Earp. Wyatt Earp lived till he was, I think, close to 80. But when he was in all the O.K. Corral and all those fights and everything, he never got hit by a bullet once. I remember one time his buddies and his brothers were riding along to get somebody, and there was an ambush waiting for him. And in the movie, he goes after them, and he actually, and it didn't show it in the movie, but he actually never got hit by a bullet. He did wear those long coats. It was full of bullet holes, and the horn of the saddle was shot off, and his heel of his shoe was shot off too. And he never got, and anyhow, he was the one guy that could walk up to a guy that was ready to pull it and take the gun off him and hit him over the head. I mean, and not kill the guy. And, well, he was a hero anyhow. And so we went to Tombstone. I remember we went to, what was the place that it's called that I really liked?
The Birdcage Saloon. It's the only Tombstone's all wood, and I think it burned down a few times, but the only building that's still original was the Birdcage Saloon. And if you've seen the movie Tombstone, which everybody has, that's the where Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday had the faro table and everything.
Yeah.
And it's the original. It's the original floors, original walls. There's a scene where you see a big kind of picture. It's like a canvas picture of a woman. And
oh, that was Wyatt Earp's girlfriend. Holy smokes. Folks, I can't tell you. Was she gorgeous or
like,
what?
Yeah, the woman that played her in the movie didn't do her justice.
She was better looking than the one in the movie. It was unbelievable. Anyhow, it was taken by a.
But if you're into the West, it's fascinating. And then when you and I went, there was bullet holes in there, and then when you walked into the main saloon, it was just like the movie. Like they had like little boxes.
And then you paid money to get in first.
It's like $5 or $6.
$5,
like
it wasn't that much.
Nothing, yeah.
And then you had to pay another $10, I think, to go in the back.
Yeah.
And everybody, nobody, there was about 20 people. And then remember, she said, this is where I guess I can say this. This is where the girls took the guys up the stairs. Oh, is that right? Everybody perked up.
But that was the original. That's how they got the thing catwalk. That's they used to,
really
the girls used to walk up and down, and that's,
oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
That's with the original.
You're just a wealth of information.
Well, I wish I knew that, but she said that. But the lady's saying, she says
she retained it.
That's what, yeah, that she says.
And
this,
you know,
is what
I
it
really
was.
Felt bad that when I it's unbelievable in the back. You have to see it to believe it. All the old, you know, there's a table that Doc Holliday sat at, and it showed the rooms, and I mean it.
Well, you're a real history buff, Dad. I mean, you don't go on very many vacations, and they're usually not fun ones. They're usually to check things out. Remember the last time, the last one would have been when you went to London.
I went to see the Victory with Nelson.
I got to tell a funny story, though, when we went to London. So we go to London, and we have a day off. Actually, it was because you were doing that CBC show about your ancestry.
Who do you think you are?
So we go. So we're in London, and we have 2 days off. So we said, okay, well, we're going to go to the British War Museum, and then we're going to go to the British Museum. So Dad goes, well, let's go to the War Museum first. So, you know, Dad and I are in separate rooms, and so I go out, and I'm dressed in jeans and running shoes and relaxed. And Dad, you were dressed just like you were going to Coach's Corner. You had a shirt and tie on, and you had
burgundy jacket,
and you had your dress shoes.
Oh.
And I said to Dad, I said, we're going to be walking all day. Why don't you just dress down? Dad, no. He goes, somebody might see me, and you know how disappointed people are if I'm not dressed up.
How I got with that was with the Jefferson. Remember the movie, the old TV show?
Oh, yes.
And you remember the guy, the small guy that he used to be dressed up
all
the time.
I remember the one time you said there was a little old lady, and she came up to you, and you had a comfortable collar on in the plane because you were traveling.
You're right in the sense. I had a black blazer on. She says, you know, I waited all this time to see, and you had a black. That's what you have on.
Yeah, so you set the precedent pretty high. So Tim, what happened?
So I said, Dad, I said, come on. I said, you know that, you know, we're gonna go see all the Victoria Crosses. You're gonna read every one. I said, we're gonna be there for
Lawrence of Arabia's rifle. Too.
Rifle and everything. I said, we're gonna be there for hours. And I said, you know, those shoes, you're gonna be no, I'm gonna get dressed. We're arguing in the hall. So I said, all right, fine. So you go suffer then. So you said, no, you said, you know, somebody might notice me. So I said, Dad, you're in London, England. Who is going to notice you going to the British War Museum? He goes, no. So you and I, we're kind of a little mad at each other. So we're standing at the hotel waiting for the guy calls a British cab, you know, in the black cabs.
Great big one.
The great big one. The guy gets out. Hey, Don Cherry, how are you? You know who I'm from? I'm from Wolf Island. He's from Wolf Island.
From
Kingston, where Dad's cottage is. And you're there. See?
Oh, that must have made Dad's day to be right on that one. But you also had a culture shock, too, on seeing Dad's room also, too, if you ever want to talk about that.
That's a whole thing. But the next day, though, we went to the bar. You wore running shoes the next day.
I tell you, I ruined the whole day. I tell you one more funny story about going to London. I don't know how we got into London. But I was with Al Strachan. I went over with Al Strachan, and he liked to go to Harrods. He buys really great stuff and everything, and great cheese and stuff. So I don't buy anything in Placeland. So I stood up against the wall, and I had my burgundy jacket. And again, I guess I wore that quite a bit. And I had my shirt and tie. And everybody was coming up asking me where the cheese factory, I think it's that way. And then I look around, and when we went for a walk, Harrods, they always have a guy that's standing up against the wall, all dressed up nice, and you go and ask him where things are. So anyhow, I'm glad I felt good.
Well, but didn't you also have that same syndrome when you were in the airports, too? People coming up to you, thinking you were a policeman asking you.
Oh, yeah. When we used to go, Ron and I used to go down in the States. And Canada, it's a little different. They kind of know who you are. But I remember, like, we'd have an old detective and a young detective. And the police down, they used to think we were detectives because we had a shirt and tie on. And we're the only people in the airports that have a shirt and tie. How do we get into all this? Anyhow, we're supposed to be talking about the All-Star Game. Well, I have an idea. I watched the All-Star Game, and I guess a lot of people didn't. And I kind of liked it shooting up high. It's a gimmick, a lot of gimmicks in that. And, you know, football and hockey can't be an All-Star Game. It's too tough. And the guys are having fun and the whole deal. But it used to be really something, and you remember it started with Ace Bailey and Eddie Shore.
Yeah, that I think hockey was the first All-Star Game, because that was when, remember a couple, one of our first podcasts, we had King Clancy talk about how Eddie Shore almost killed Ace Bailey, and that was it. Ace never played again. And then they had the Toronto Maple Leafs, who were the Stanley Cup champs, right?
Or was yeah, it much, and, no, no, Stanley Cup champs.
And then they played an All-Star game to raise money for Ace Bailey and his family. And remember, they shook hands.
They shook hands. What are they going to do? But here, the big thing is that the Stanley Cup champions did not want to get beat by the All-Stars. So it was really, really heavy duty. And then, but I think the only way, and the three-on-three, I never thought a three-on-three could be unexciting. And the yeah, All-Star really. Game proved it. Well, the girls were pretty good, though. They met.
Yeah, they seemed like they were a little bit more intense, right? They were a little.
Did I ever tell you about one time? This is a true story. When I say girls, I got to tell you this story. No, this was the guy's long gone out of. Shouldn't talk about hockey, but this was long gone. This was Hockey Night in Canada. This guy worked for the CBC. Notice how I say that. So anyhow, I said the girls hockey, mm-hmm. And. I honest to God, I got a call, and I thought, "Oh, hi, how you doing? How you doing?" And he said, "We've had a meeting. We'd like you to call them women." Wait a minute, you want me to call them women's hockey? Well, yes, they're women. They're not girl. Wait a minute, I said. Do you think when they go out and they say, "Come on, let's go, woman," they say, "They let's go, girl." In fact, they say, "Let's go, guys!"
You meant it in a loving way. Well, you didn't mean it as a put.
Well, everybody calls them girls hockey. If you
well, remember you were telling the story of the one guy, one coach was walking up.
Oh, Claude Ruel and Jacques and listen, I don't want any boys in my hockey. I don't want boys. I want men that stand up and play. Okay, boys, let's go.
Well, remember there was a story when you first went to Colorado and Ma said she saw a picture of the Colorado Rockies. And remember what Mom said?
Yeah.
You're looking at the team for the first time on a team picture.
They did look nice, though.
Well, they did. Well, you had a lot of good-looking players, Pat.
Yeah, they had blonde hair.
Yeah. And what did she say?
I says, I just come from I had the toughest team in sports. And then I go out to Colorado. Wasn't that, though? We got rid of those guys, and we had a pretty good team. Hey, don't get me going on Colorado.
All right, but I'm just saying, what did Ma say about it? It had to do with boys.
Yeah, aren't they nice-looking little bunch of boys? Yeah. So that's what I had out in Colorado. Boys. But we ended up with a pretty good club. The only thing, it was Ray Mirren, the general manager, and I still think to this day that...
Yeah, that whole thing was funny. Like, they wouldn't... You know, that you almost 200,000 more people went to the game, yeah. And then but you wouldn't get the goalie, and then was a year later after you fired, they ended up in Colorado. They ended up back in New Jersey. So
yeah, wasn't there a movie called Slapshot, something like that?
No, I wish it was. I wish I'd had the power that he had. But I remember that Dougie Favelle was up in the mountains. We could have had Dougie Favelle, but he'd already grabbed. And I found out later that he had actually grabbed Miron and threw him out of a room. So no wonder he didn't want him back. But no, nobody could be that stupid to see that great team we had. We had Lanny McDonald, we had Schmatzy, Mike Christie, and it just went on and
Rene
on.
Rene Robert and Jack Valiquette, all those guys.
I mean, Jack Valiquette, and Walter McKechnie. We had a really good club. The only thing we didn't have was a goalie, and he would not get a goalie. And I honestly, I shouldn't say this, but it's a true story. Then I honestly think they had it wrapped up to go to New Jersey. Because remember, we went down to him, everything was gone. Yeah. Like they moved out.
In a night. They did a midnight run.
Well, there you go. If got to sink a team, having not a very good
goalie
is one
of them. How'd we get going on Colorado?
Anyway, well, you know, the one thing that was interesting, I thought, in the All-Star game was Al McGinnis.
Yeah.
He was 56. Well, was he? Well, no, I don't know how old he is. He's, what, 50?
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, he is 56, and he has a wooden stick, and he still shot the puck over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was a little nervous for him. You know, like I thought maybe he'd be about 80 or something. Boy, he just zinged her home. No, I thought it was a pretty good All-Star.
But I just want to say anything about Al McGinnis, a couple of things. People don't realize how hard his shot was, that he was playing for Calgary. And I put it up it's up on our Facebook page, the Don Cherry Grapevine Podcast Facebook page. He took a slap shot from outside the blue line. Remember, he hit Mike Liut's mask.
Yeah.
And the puck went in the net. It broke his mask, and they thought Liut might have broke his jaw. That's how hard his shot was. And then
he's like Shea Weber of today.
Yeah, and with a wooden stick. So imagine what he could do now with one of those composite sticks.
I wonder.
And he shot the puck so hard, and then he went to St. Louis. He shot the puck so hard in warm-up that it went right through the boards. And we got that. Did we have that up on the Facebook page? That the puck broke the boards, went right through it.
I remember he came in the dressing room one day, and he said, "Thanks, Grapes. I really appreciate it."
Oh, yeah.
And the guy tripped him. He's going back for an icing, and the guy tripped him. And he spread-eagled in the... And,
well, that was a real bad injury.
Yeah, he was out for about 8 months. And nobody give the guy heck. What was the guy's name? I forget the guy's name. Anyhow, he tripped him. And just as he was going, boy, and he spread-eagled.
Like he wrecked, I think, one hip, and he tore the other one. Oh, it was a bad
Well, Tim, you're telling that story. All I can think of is, what is he doing taking such a hard shot during warm-up, Dad? You would be upset. What is that?
Well, I guess.
Well, he didn't hit the goalie.
He better purposely. That's the first thing he would say.
I think hitting the goalie.
That's your thing about warm-ups, hockey.
That, Jerry Cheever said he's the only guy that's ever been pulled in an intramural game. I guess intramural. And we had 17,000 kids. We had an inter-squad game at Team Canada. And for some reason, I don't understand it. Never forgot that game because Lanny McDonald took a run at Serge Savard, and Serge Savard had broken his leg the year before, and Serge Savard cross-checked him back, and they all booed him, and so they asked me, and Lanny's my friend. I said, "Well, Lanny, what are you doing?" I said, "What is he doing hitting a guy in that game?" Anyhow, we got to get off there, but I just want to tell you one story what happened there and talk about a goalie getting hit, that Steve Shutt could really shoot a puck, and he shot it high, and he could really shoot a puck thing, 60 goals in 1 year. So he played on the left wing. So he was playing against us, and he let a shot go. I mean, it was unbelievable shot, top corner. So Jerry got out of the way.
So this was in practice?
No, it's intramural game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, intramural game. So I pulled him after that. And so in between periods, I'm talking. I said, "You know, Jerry, that is really something. That shot's really got a shot." And he said, "Yeah, he sure does." And I said, "That puck almost hit you." That was the end of Jerry. And he says, "I'm the only guy that was ever pulled." So anyhow, I have an idea on the All-Star game. I don't know how we get anything. The All-Star game, the only way you're going to get some feeling back in that game. And I mean, I never thought I'd ever say the 3-on-3 looked lousy. And that 3-on-3, they didn't try. But you wanted to try. I know it diversified the league and all that, and the world is changing a little. If you had the Europeans play the North Americans. Now, I know I know that the world is changing, mm-hmm. and you don't want to insult anybody. But if you had the Europeans playing, believe me, they wouldn't want to lose. And the North Americans, you'd have a great 3-on-3. That's the only way, because you know they're giving them tons of money. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, guys making $10 million. Well, you give them $200,000. What is pocket money to them? The only way is that their pride is if you had a 3-on-3. Beautiful 3-on-3. Can you imagine 3-on-3, and that's for the championship games?
Well, I can remember when you used to have inter-squad games with your team. Didn't you used to have East versus West? And even then there was some.
Well, that was back, you know, it's a funny thing. It was, that was back when I played, back in, we used to call it East-West game. Believe me, and all the Westerners, and there'd be a lot of Westerners, you know, and there'd be a lot of Easterners, and we'd play, and, you know, that was,
There was pride in who was going to win.
Yeah, well, we kind of, it was a little bit, but I think, and this, the only way they're going to get some magic back in that game, not like the old days, because I remember when I was home in Rochester watching the All-Star game in the National Hockey League, I saw Bobby Orr go down a block, a Bobby Hull shot.
Oh.
Oh, boy. And he crawled off the ice, and he was back the next game. So there used to be a lot of feeling. Now the guys, and I don't blame them, they have the 82-game schedule and the whole deal and all, everything like that. I think the Europeans against the North Americans, boy, I think it would go.
So, Dad, we're just to wrap it up. I know the people in Edmonton are calling it Turtle Gate, but it's, you know, it's
aren't they having a sign out there?
Yeah, the Calgary radio station put a big billboard in Edmonton with the, you know, his face on it, and it's going back and forth. You know what I really got to laugh at? Well, just to say they're playing this week. I think they play on the 29th, and then they play again on the 2 days later. But it's fun to watch the announcer saying, oh, you know, this stuff, it's terrible. You know, this, you know, we're trying to get this out of hockey. But make sure, you know, tune in. They're coming in. It's going to it probably
can hardly wait.
You don't want to glorify this type of violence.
That's right.
But yet, everyone's going to tune in to see
it. That reminds me, we got to talk sometime about Probert. And who is it, Troy Crowder?
Yeah.
Ty and Probert, I remember.
Oh, Ty and Probert.
Ty and
return.
Probert.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a biggie. You couldn't get a ticket, I remember.
So
what do you think? So what do you think will happen? Because a lot of times when they build this stuff up, nothing happens. But what do you think's going to happen?
Well, I think Tkachuk will kind of, he won't back down. He'll kind of let on he wants to go at him. But if I was Tkachuk, I wouldn't be worried about Cassian because Cassian won't try to. But the guy like Nurse, remember Darryl Nurse? We know him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Well, remember, one time he got suspended last year for beating somebody up, and they was like the Stan Jonathan thing of continuing punishment. He got suspended.
Yeah. So that'd be the guy I'd look at, and because Nurse doesn't take any prisoners. So, but what are we going to do this Thursday?
Talk maybe about a guy that you've
My
met, you
favorite.
And Ryan. Larry Walker was the second Canadian ever inducted into the...
After
Fergie Jenkins' Baseball Hall of Fame. So we're going to talk about Larry Walker, and you and Ron met him. And then we actually had Fergie Jenkins on the Grapevine Show, one of our first guests in 1982. And we got a couple of clips of him talking about his career.
Yeah, if for a Canadian to get in the American... He has to be almost superhuman, and both of them were superhuman, and he had to wait till 10 years. He should have been in almost the first thing. But his record is unbelievable, and we'll talk about that Thursday.